Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Show was previously recorded.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Happy New Year to all of you guys out there who have tuned into the program. Appreciate you. Hope 2025 is a great one for you. Rhino, hope he's having a great one as well down there in Studio X. He will make sure we achieve our goals on this show. What are our goals? To get through the next hour without anything silly happening. Can that be achieved? Let's find out together. We're brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com. Later in the show, I'll be telling you about some of the great things going on in my hometown here of Mississippi, Vicksburg, Mississippi. We made it. It's 2025. What a year. What a year. Some things we'd love to relive, some great moments, some not so much, like the entire football season. But we move forward here on Thunder and Lightning, and let's talk some basketball. Mississippi State wrapping up non-conference play, 12-1, and looking like a team that is going to be a good one when we get here into the heart of SEC play, which begins this weekend. Mississippi State taking on South Carolina on Saturday at the Hump. The start of the conference season, of a conference play schedule that's going to be, for lack of a better word, just absolutely brutal. It's going to be a tough, tough schedule. And not necessarily because Mississippi State isn't a good team. They're a very good team. 18th in the net as of this morning and, you know, sitting in a good spot. But this conference, man, it's just unbelievable. State's 18th in the nation in net, but they're 1, 2, 3, 4, they're fifth. Is that right? Am I missing somebody? Feels like I'm missing somebody. 1, 2, 3. Did Kentucky drop behind them? Oh, they did. Okay. So fifth. They're fifth in the conference in net. And when I watch this team play, I think I see two things. I see a team that is very talented, very deep. They have a lot of scoring options. They have 7, 8, 9 guys, I feel like, on any given night could get you double-digit points. Against Bethune-Cookman on Monday, 4 guys in double figures, and another 2 guys who were a bucket away from being in double figures. You know, Cam Matthews is a guy who only had 4 points in that game, but that's a guy who can easily go out and get you 12, 13, 14 points in a game. So they have the depth that you need, that you're going to need in this conference season. They provide some matchup problems. They have some length in the backcourt that kind of negates the fact that they don't have a ton of size up front in the front court. You know, this is a team that's going to have, this is going to play a little smaller than maybe you would like. You know, Cam at the 4 is an interesting move, but you just don't really have that guy there. They have a lot of talent. They're well coached. They play hard, but they have been a little up and down. And, you know, it doesn't show in the record, obviously, because they only have the 1 loss. But they feel like they play to the level of their competition sometimes. And that's a good thing, I guess, if you're going into SEC play where every team is great. So if you play great every night, hey, good news. You're going to win a lot of games. But I just feel like that's the one thing I've lacked from seeing from this Mississippi State team is the consistency. You know, to put 2 great games together. State's best 2 games of the season were against Pitt and Memphis, and their next games were against SWAC teams, and they played down to that level of competition and, you know, escaped with ugly wins. If they had played the way they played against Pitt, the way they played against Memphis, against Prairie View and Bethune-Cookman, they would have won those games by 50-plus points.
You know, there's no getting around that fact. So State's got to find a little bit more consistency going forward. If they can do that, this team can really make a deep run into March. You know, I said a year ago on this program, I thought that that team was going to compete for an SEC championship. I was off on that prediction. They ended up kind of struggling. I don't know if this team can do that either. I don't know if this team can get up there with Auburn, with Tennessee, with Alabama. You play those teams four times combined. You play Alabama twice, and then Auburn once, and Tennessee once. The Auburn and Tennessee games are both on the road, and obviously you have one road game with Alabama. So you only get the top three teams in the conference, you only get them at home once. So, you know, getting one win out of that group would be fantastic. I really don't know that anybody's going to run away with the conference this year. And I think I mentioned that last week, or 2 weeks ago. Last week was Christmas Day. I really don't know that anybody's going to be like a 14-4. If there's a 14-4 team in this conference, they're going to be an elite team. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that, you know, more than likely the conference champion could be somebody who goes 12-8, something like that. So if you finished 9-9, you're going to be just fine. And I think State's more than capable of doing that. 9-9 would stay where they are right now. I mean, we talked about this. I think the way the SEC is set up right now in terms of net, only at South Carolina is not a quad one game. So every road game State plays in SEC play right now is a quad one opportunity. So State could easily have three or four more quad one wins from just the road games. I mean, they can win games at Vanderbilt. They could win at Ole Miss. They have some winnable road games. And then the other side of that is when they play teams at home, they have chances to get more quad one games. When you can get quad one games at home, I mean, what are we talking about here? That's great news for Mississippi State. Alabama will be a quad one opportunity for Mississippi State. Kentucky will be a quad one opportunity for Mississippi State. And then there's a couple others. So where this team is right now, I give a lot of credit to Chris Jans. Because think about, you know, something we say a lot on this show is coaches would rather lose their own way than win somebody else's. Look at the way Jans's teams played the first 2 years he was here versus the way they play now. Now, they still give you that same defensive effort, but they are not the same grind-you-to-death defense. You know, they're just more active in the passing lanes. They force a few more turnovers. Last year's teams would just grind you to death. This year's teams, they just make it more difficult on you in terms of the way they attack the basketball. Jans talked about that on Monday night. He talked about, you know, defending by guarding the ball as opposed to just guarding the player. And I think that's an interesting way of thinking about it. But this year's team is a much more well-rounded and capable team offensively than any team he's had before here at Mississippi State. It looks like some of his teams he had at New Mexico State. Those teams could shoot threes, and they ran up and down the court. This team is so good in transition, too, because they just have the athletes. Kugel, Melendez, Cam Matthews, Keyshawn Murphy, Nwoko even, can get out in transition. And, you know, Hubbard and Harris out there on the wings. Hubbard's interesting. He hasn't played his best basketball, really, at any point in these first 13 games. So I'm interested to see what happens now that the level of competition steps up. Because State needs him, you know. They're in a position where they need him, but they don't need him, if that makes sense. They need him. They can't go too far without their best player being good. But at the same time, it's not a situation where if Hubbard gets shut down, well, State's only going to score 45 points tonight. You still got plenty of guys who can go out there and get you points. So that's great news for Mississippi State. This game with South Carolina, and then we'll have a lot more preview of that on Friday's Thunder and Lightning podcast. But it's a big game. I'm interested to see what the crowd looks like. I thought the crowd on Monday, we're talking about an 8 o'clock tip on a Monday, the day before New Year's Eve, against a no-name opponent with the students still out of school. And I thought there was like close to 4,000 people in the hump. And we're not that far removed from that being the crowd for an SEC game on a weekend. So I could be wrong, but I think there's going to be a decent crowd at the hump this Saturday. I think people are going to show up for this team. I mean, the team has done everything it can do to get you into the arena. I'll put it that way. They've won. They're 12-1. They play a more exciting brand of basketball. It's not just a rock fight. You're not going in there going, oh, God, it's going to be 62-58, and it's just going to be a disgusting basketball game to watch. No, you don't have any of that. You got plenty of the basketball is very entertaining for Mississippi State this season. So I'm excited to see where this team goes. I'm excited to watch college basketball. The SEC is just going to be a horse race from start to finish. There are easily 8 or 9 teams that could win the conference if things go right for them. Obviously, Auburn, Tennessee, Bama, those are going to be the heavy favorites. But if Kentucky ends up winning it, if Florida, which I've been surprised by Florida and the way they've played this year, if they end up winning it, if Mississippi State were to end up winning it, A&M could end up winning it. Ole Miss is an interesting team. I think they're good, but they have a weakness. They struggle down low. Memphis really was able to expose that on them on this past Saturday. So I don't know what to make of the Rebels. But when the Rebels make shots, they could beat anybody in the country. So it just shows you the depth of this conference and everything we're going to see. All right, we'll talk football when we come back. Let's go into the transfer portal. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Now, this show was previously recorded.
We're back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Happy New Year's to you guys out there. Appreciate you spending part of your day here with me. I know the college football playoff is going on, and you're probably watching that as well. But if you got us on, we appreciate you. Or if you're just listening in podcast form, appreciate that as well. You can get this show, the Thunder and Lightning podcast, the Rebel Report, the Eagle Hour. If you're a Mississippi sports fan, we've got you covered here at Super Talk. Subscribe to all of our podcasts. Rate them 5 stars. You can say whatever you want about us down there in the comments. Just 5-star rating. I feel like that's a very fair trade. I want to thank our sponsors over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Next week, 2 events at the Vicksburg Public Library. On Wednesday, 10 a.m., children's story time at the library. Starts at 10 a.m. So the kids are still out of school next week. They can go check that out. And then on Thursday, starting at 1 p.m., coffee, coloring, and conversation at the Vicksburg Public Library. If you need more information on either of those events or anything going on at the library, give them a call at 601-636-6411. And also this Saturday, I'm sorry, not this Saturday, next Saturday, the 11th, at 1 o'clock, it's the Lego Club at the Vicksburg Public Library. Join for a relaxing time making Lego creations, and Legos will be provided, so you don't have to bring your own Legos out there. I'm not going to lie. That sounds pretty cool. That would be something I'd be interested in doing. 601-636-6411 if you need more information on any of these events happening at the Vicksburg Public Library. Into the transfer portal we go. And since we last met, Mississippi State has added quite a bit to its 2025 roster. Starting with, Sunday 2 weeks ago, the Sunday before Christmas, State with 3 transfers, 2 offensive linemen, Kobe Keenum transferring in from Kentucky. That's a name that might be a little familiar to you. He was recruited very heavily by Mississippi State out of high school, ends up going to Kentucky, but now at Mississippi State. And then Carson Lee coming to Mississippi State from Eastern Michigan. Both of those guys will compete for the starting center job. There's an outside chance with Keenum that he could move to a guard position. He's a little bit more versatile, a little bigger in terms of height than Lee. I think Lee is more of a true center. But both of those guys will compete for that starting center job that's being vacated by the graduation of Ethan Miner. And then Malik Silla, a 6'6", 230-pound edge rusher coming in from Texas A&M. Very highly recruited out of high school. Had a ton of offers. You know, and it's one of those things where the production hasn't really been there just yet for him. When you look at his career at Texas A&M. But at the same time, you know, A&M has recruited so well in the defensive line. He's been behind elite players. So, I don't know. It's definitely a potential overproduction kind of guy. The frame looks good. We'll see how it goes. But that's not a guy that I'm going to sit here and try to tell you today that I expect big things from him. I got to see a little bit more from him. State also going sort of the same way, the potential overproduction with the signature of Darren Reed from Auburn. Again, a four-star kid out of high school, offers from nearly the entire SEC, but no production as of yet. He's been now in his third year in college, hasn't really done anything. So this is a guy that you're taking because you like his frame, you like the athleticism he showed, the recruiting profile is there. But again, I can't come in here and tell you with any real, what's the word I'm looking for, like truth, I don't know the way to put it, that I just say, oh yeah, that guy's going to be a dominant force here at Mississippi State. It just wouldn't. I can't do that. Hopefully he can be a good depth piece for the Bulldogs. They did add some real production on the defensive line in Rasheen Thomas from Northern Illinois and Will Whitson from Coastal Carolina. These were two highly touted defensive linemen. They have production. They will be likely starters for Mississippi State. If you look at the way State has recruited on the defensive side of the ball, it makes it look like they're going to go to a little bit more of a four-man look in 2025. And I think that's a good call because it's just so difficult to find those elite nose tackles out there. Certainly in the transfer portal, in recruiting, those kids end up at the big schools, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Ohio States. Those are where those truly elite nose tackles are going to end up. State got one once. They got Jeff Simmons, and you saw the difference he makes in a defense. But a four-man front, it's just easier to recruit guys to that. It's also easier to recruit your edge guys to that. 4-3 defensive ends are easier to find than 3-3-5, Jack linebackers and those guys. Montez Sweat guys don't come around very often. But there are 4-3 defensive ends out there all the time. So what I can say when I look at this transfer class is this, and when I look at what Mississippi State was able to do in the recruiting, in high school recruiting, State is better. Better might not be the right word. State has a better starting point defensively than they did a season ago. The depth is certainly better. Now, are those guys going to step up and be SEC football players? That's something we're going to have to wait to find out on. But just on paper, the depth chart looks a lot better for Mississippi State today than it did at this point in 2023, going into the 2024 season. Whitson, Thomas, Red Hibbler, Jalen Smith, Jerron Manning, that's real production. These are guys who have played major college football and have been productive at that level. And State's not done, obviously. Once the dead period ends, they've got to get some cornerbacks in here. They could use another defensive lineman. You need more depth, to be totally honest with you there. Offensively, we'll talk about that in just a second. But there's still 7, 8, 9 spots to fill. And one thing I want to encourage you guys to start doing is this. We've talked about, it's a business now, it's a business. Well, if it's a business, then it's a business. And, when I tell you that, these players could up and leave you in a second if they want to, you got to have that same mentality. You can't look at Mississippi State, or if you're a fan of any school, if you're an Ole Miss fan or an LSU fan who happens to be listening in, you can never look at a player and say, well, we've got this guy, so we don't need to recruit. You've got to get better every time out. So if State can find a better football player than your favorite player, well, your favorite player's got to go. There can't be any loyalty like that. So if State can, I'm trying to think of something. Like, I like Kelly Jones. I think he's got some potential. But if State can go out and get a couple of really solid starting cornerbacks, and it becomes a situation from a scholarship position where you're like, and we only have so many scholarships here, and somebody may have to go. And it's between a proven starter at corner and Kelly Jones, then Kelly Jones has to go. Simple as that. And, I hope that I think that's the policy you just have to have. You have to at the very least encourage competition amongst all your starters. But at the worst, sometimes people have just got to go. If you can improve, you've got to improve. You've got to improve. You can't do that. You can't stand pat and just say, well, we have so-and-so, so we don't need to get better. You can always get better. You can always get better. The running back room at Mississippi State is suddenly very interesting. I think it's going to be a good running back room, one of the top ones in the SEC. And that helps with the addition of, what a name. We talked about this last week after he committed. I'm still thrilled. Fluff Bothwell from South Alabama. I talked to a friend on at the game on Monday, who her son was at South Alabama, and she said, "Look, this guy is legit. He is a legitimate football player. He can get it done here at this level." So I thought that was you know, good news. Very productive at South Alabama, double digit touchdowns, nearly 900 yards rushing. Bigger back, 230 pounds. I think he fits in really well and will provide a great complement to Devon Booth. Now you're asking yourself, maybe you haven't been keeping up, maybe the holidays you haven't been paying as much attention. Devon Booth should be back for Mississippi State this year. With this Diego Pavia ruling, it appears he will return to Mississippi State. Kelly Akari, I talked about him possibly being back. It appears his eligibility situation is a little different than Booth's. And he's just out of eligibility, so he's on to the NFL draft. Wish him the best. But it looks like Booth is going to be back for Mississippi State this year. And so now you've got Devon Booth, Fluff Bothwell, Johnny Daniels. I don't know what Seth Davis is going to be able to give you, you know, from an injury perspective. I don't know if he's back all the way. But you also have your two talented true freshmen coming in. You still have Xavier Gayton, who you should be able to redshirt at this point. That's a legit SEC running back room. Now, they still need to go get a left tackle. They still need maybe another interior offensive lineman. They certainly need two or three more wide receivers after losing Akari, Coleman, and Craver. They've got to improve there. That's on Chad Bumpus to do that. But that running back room is solid. And, you know, the state's running game was so much better in the second half of the season. If they can find a way to play like that at the beginning of the year, it's going to go a long, long way for this team. All right, so that's where the additions are in the roster side of things. What about on the coaching staff? Some changes being made there and some questions we still don't have some answers to. Let's talk about that when we come back. We'll talk about the new faces coming in and who's going out and who may need to go out at this point. All right, let's do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
This show was previously recorded.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys tuning in here on New Year's Day. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino down there in Studio X. So far, so good. We haven't had any shenanigans. We'll see if that can continue over the next 20 minutes or so. I want to thank our friends over at Visit Vicksburg. January 23rd, it's Family Financial Fun Night at the Youth Development Center in Vicksburg, 2020 Mission 66. The event begins at 5:30 p.m. at the Youth Development Center. For more information, call 601-636-8633. Family Financial Fun Night in my house is just when my daughter's asked me for money. So I don't know what's going on there, but maybe you should go check it out on January 23rd, 5:30 p.m. All right. Mississippi State making some changes to the coaching staff. Now, if you're a listener to this podcast or this radio show, to my podcast, to anything I've done, you know that I was banging the drum for coaching changes, and not necessarily the ones that Mississippi State has done. But I'm interested to see where this takes us. So let's start off with we'll call it a like for like swap, and that Mississippi State has relieved offensive lineman coach Cody Kennedy of his duties and brought in Colorado offensive line coach Phil Loadholt to Starkville. Now, Loadholt is a guy who has a lot of familiarity with Jeff Lebby. Was with him at Central Florida, was with him at Ole Miss, was with him at Oklahoma. There was a lot of talk that he was going to join this staff a year ago as an analyst. And then Colorado offered him the offensive line coaching job, and you know, obviously he took that. But now he'll reunite with Jeff Lebby. They have a tremendous relationship. Loadholt, did a good job with Colorado's offensive line. Now, I know what you're saying right now. I know what you're saying. You're like, well, I saw that bowl game, and they looked terrible. And they did. They absolutely looked bad in that game. But that's one game. Colorado's offensive line was way improved from 2023 to 2024. And Lode Holt played a big role in that. Known as a recruiter. And I feel like that's playing a bigger role in this than maybe player development is. You know, you look at what State brought in last year on the offensive line from the transfer portal. Those guys struggled. There's no getting around that. The evaluations were not correct. Mac Pounders was not an SEC left tackle. Jacoby Jackson, Marlon Martinez were not great for Mississippi State. Miner was good. He was good. But that was the ceiling for him. He was just good. And then you look at, there were two offensive linemen in the state, four-star offensive linemen in the state, Tyler Miller and Mario Nash, and State didn't get either one of them. Had Nash committed, but he got away, and then Tyler Miller really never gave State much of a look after he committed to LSU in the spring. And so, you know, Kennedy was the guy that people talked about was going to be a plus recruiter, and you just didn't really see it. On top of the struggles that his offensive line had, especially early in the season. I will tell you that they played better throughout as the season went along, but they started off so badly, it took State out of a lot of games. So Lode Holt comes in with that reputation as a recruiter, a former NFL offensive lineman. I mean, he looks like an offensive lineman. He's a big dude. Brings that familiarity with Lebby's system. So this is not a situation where he comes in and he's got to get up to speed. He knows this offense. So that's a good start for Mississippi State. He's got work to do. He's got to get into the portal and find a starting left tackle. That's got to be his number one priority over the next few weeks. On the defensive side of the ball, State is going to bring in Vincent Dancy. Now, that may be a name that's familiar to some of you here. A Mississippi native, played football at Jackson State, was head coach at Mississippi Valley State for five seasons. Last year at Colorado, coached their edge rushers. Now he's coaching outside linebackers and edge rushers at Mississippi State. So what that means is, you know, last year, Coleman Hutzler was just the linebackers coach. He coached linebackers. So they've taken that off of his plate and given it to Vincent Dancy. But then you have David Turner. So if this guy's coaching defensive ends, what is David Turner coaching? If he's just coaching interior defensive linemen, this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. If it's just interior defensive linemen, it can't just be a three-man front, because then we're talking about he's coaching four guys. So that you got to figure out, you got to think and say, you know, okay, well, obviously they're going to more down linemen, maybe a four-man front. That makes sense. The other side of that coin is this. You have 10 spots for assistant coaches, but now you have 11 assistant coaches, because they did not let David Turner go. He's still on staff. So what does that mean for Mississippi State? It means one of two things. Either a coach is going to be let go in the coming days before the start of the season, or a coach is going to be reassigned. Now, one of the things the NCAA has done in recent months is allowed analysts to be on-the-field coaches. In the past, analysts were limited to what they could do. They could not be on the field coaching. They were basically there to break down film, and that was it. They were there to provide advice, but they could not be talking to the players directly. That's changed. So do you turn David Turner into an analyst? I don't know how that would sit. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But it feels like there's something along those lines is going to happen for Mississippi State. And quite honestly, it needed to happen. You know, Turner's performance last year, that defensive line was a train wreck. They were hit hard by injuries, but the players who did play didn't play well. I mean, that was the biggest reason State went 2-10 last year was their defensive line. You also look at Turner from a recruiting perspective. Look at the four-star defensive linemen we've seen in this state over the last few years, and State hasn't gotten hardly any of them. You know, you think a season ago there were, I think, four-star defensive linemen in the state. None of them went to Mississippi State. Three of them went to Ole Miss, a school that doesn't have State's pedigree for producing elite defensive linemen. So that's a problem, and you got to fix it. So Dancy is a guy who comes in with some Mississippi connections. And, you know, hopefully he can play those into some recruiting success. So those are the two, we'll call them on-field assistant changes for Mississippi State. Again, there has to be some other change because you can't have 11 on-field assistant coaches. I don't know if State will so much, you know, they may never make an announcement. That you may just look up one day on the website and David Turner's title has been changed or something along those lines. The main thing that we got to remember is those analysts, they can coach. They cannot recruit. So if you turn David Turner into an analyst, it means he doesn't go out on and recruit anymore. But perhaps that's a good thing, because I don't believe David Turner is a guy who really enjoys recruiting in this new age of NIL. He is a very old school coach, and he is a guy who wants, you know, those grinders that he can bring in here and develop and play with that chip on their shoulder. You know, he's not much for discussing NIL. Well, you just can't have that these days. You got to have a coach who's willing to embrace that. So maybe this is a way to keep him and keep his expertise in the coaching department on the staff, but, you know, let him play to his strengths a little bit more. I don't know what the answer to that question is. That's something that Mississippi State will have to reveal to us in the coming weeks. State hired an analyst on Monday, and that was the hire that got my attention more than either one of these two assistant coaches, and that's the hiring of Paul Rhodes. Rhodes is a name that should be familiar to a lot of you if you're a college football fan. He is the guy who's been around, been a head coach, been a defensive coordinator at a number of stops, including here in the SEC. I feel like that's the kind of thing Mississippi State needs to have. They needed a veteran voice in the press box to work with Coleman Hutzler, to give him some suggestions, to give him some work, some ideas, to be able basically to tell him no sometimes, like, hey, we don't want to do that. I feel like State lacked that a season ago. That coaching staff, you know, Turner was the most experienced guy, but he's never been a defensive coordinator. This is a guy who can provide that level of expertise that State was missing a season ago. And I'll be honest with you, Paul Rhodes is a guy who, if he wanted to get back as a defensive coordinator, could easily do it at a number of schools. So for him to come to State as a analyst, to me, is a really good sign for the future of this football program. You know, we've had the discussion, does State truly take football seriously? Are they really going to put the effort and the investment into football that you have to have these days to stay competitive? Bringing in a coach with this resume at an analyst position, I mean, it's kind of similar to what I'm not making the same comparison. I'm not telling you that Lebby is Nick Saban. But that's what Saban does, right? He goes and he gets experienced coaches and he makes them into analysts. And they're able to do good work. I thought a piece of why Ole Miss was so good defensively a season ago was that they had Zach Arnett as an analyst. I thought he provided a good give and take with Pete Golding. And you combine that with the upgrade in talent that they had, and it turned into an elite defense. So you hope that State can have something similar to that. I don't think State's going to be as good defensively as Ole Miss was this past year, probably not even close to it. But a veteran voice like this is certainly a good thing for Mississippi State and Coleman Hutzler, entering his second year ever as a defensive coordinator, to have a guy with this much experience to be able to bounce ideas off of, to have him up in the press box, an extra set of eyes, talking down to you on the sidelines. I just don't see how that could be a bad thing for Mississippi State at any point. So, interesting hires, interesting moves. I will be excited to see how this all wraps up when they decide who the 10 on-field guys are and how that's going to work. We'll talk about that more, obviously, as we get it. All right, we'll wrap things up when we come back here on Thunder and Lightning and let you get on with the college football playoff. Back in just a minute for our first show of 2025. It's not the last show of 2024. It's the first show of 2025. Glad you guys are along with me. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Show was previously recorded.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Can't stay at home, can't stay at school. Old folks say,
let's wrap things up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks as always for joining me here, not just on any other Wednesday, New Year's Day. Appreciate you guys out there. Appreciate everybody who listened to the podcast this year. I did my Spotify Wrapped to look at it. Huge year for the Thunder and Lightning podcast. I'm very appreciative of you guys. I couldn't do it without you, obviously. I did laugh that the most popular episode of the Thunder and Lightning podcast this past year was the one right after the Toledo game, but I guess that's to be expected. But as always, looking forward to another great year here at Super Talk, another year of Thunder and Lightning. But what about Mississippi State football in 2025? I know we're a long way away from that. So I thought, you know, when it comes to predictions, obviously if I was a great sports predictor, I wouldn't be on this show. I would be on other shows telling you to pay for my picks and, you know, living the life that, you know, Bruce Marshall leaves, where he's vacationing in Switzerland and stuff like that. The last 2 years with football, I didn't feel like I was being overly optimistic either time, but I ended up being way, way off to the negative. You know, I've said Arnett's year, I said 8-4. Obviously, they finished 5-7. And this past year, I said 6-6, and they were 2-10. I'm not saying that to say that I'm going to go into next season and just say, okay, 3-9, and if they're better, I'll be happy. I'm going to, you know, as always, I want to be as realistic and as close to the correct answer as possible. But what I will say is that I'm definitely going to, you know, I'm definitely going to play towards the side of I need to be shown something. Yes, they've improved the talent in that defensive room. I don't necessarily know that they're going to be a lot better, because I didn't like what I saw from Hutzler in the coaching perspective last season. So not only, you know, he's shown me that he can acquire some talent. Hutzler's reputation as a recruiter, I'll buy into that. But do I buy into the Hutzler as the coach? I got to see a lot. You know, you think about that first game against Southern Mississippi. That's a team that's going to look totally different than it did a year ago, the same way Mississippi State should. You know, if State goes down there and USM has a lot of success moving the football, if they're able to run the football, if State's not able to get sacks against USM, then I'm going to tell you that it's not looking good. You know, and obviously the roster is still trying to find its way, right? They still have some big holes to fill. They've got to get a left tackle. They need a couple of receivers. You know, they need a few more pieces on defense, and they're not done there yet. I feel like State's maybe lowered its floor a little bit. I don't think they'll be 2-10 next year. But have they done enough for me to sit there and tell you and be honest and tell you, hey, I think this is going to be a bowl team next year? No, they have not. So, you know, I was overly optimistic last year with football. I was overly optimistic with basketball. I was overly pessimistic with baseball last year. Thought they would be really bad. They ended up being pretty good. What do I think about this year's baseball team? You'll have to tune in to find out as we continue along here over the next few weeks. Gosh, we're only, you know, what's today? So today is the first. We are, if I'm correct, we're 45 days away from first pitch at Duty Noble Field. Valentine's Day. What says I love you more than the gift of baseball? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So I won't get to cover them until Sunday when I think about it, though, because, you know, usually that Friday game is during the afternoon because it's so cold. So I'll be on the air. And then the Saturday after that is State at Ole Miss in basketball. So I'll go to the pavilion to cover that game. I won't be in Starkville for that. So I guess I'll see them Sunday the 16th. Will be my first chance to see the Diamond Dogs this upcoming year. Long way to go between now and then, though. SEC basketball this weekend in the Humphrey Coliseum. Mississippi State will take on the South Carolina Gamecocks at the Hump on Saturday. Should be I'm hopeful for a good crowd. We'll see. 1 p.m. tip in that one. State's first five games. The fifth game is Ole Miss at home. South Carolina at home, at Vanderbilt. Kentucky at home, at Auburn. Ole Miss and Starkville. Great chance to be 3-2. Good, above average chance to be 4-1 after your first five games. If you're 4-1 after your first five games, you're going to have a really legitimate chance of having the kind of season you want to have at Mississippi State, where you can possibly be a contender for the Southeastern Conference Championship. That game at Kentucky is the swing game. I don't think they'll win at Auburn. They can. They should beat South Carolina. They should beat Vanderbilt. They should beat Ole Miss at home. That Kentucky game is going to be the swing game. So we'll talk about it as it happens. Looking forward to a great weekend of basketball and the start of SEC play. Again, thank you guys for a great 2024. It's going to be a great 2025 here on Thunder and Lightning, on Sports Talk Mississippi, and here at Super Talk. Looking forward to seeing you guys throughout the year and bringing you another year of my thoughts on Mississippi State sports. I appreciate each and every one of you guys out there. Thank you so much. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Happy New Year, guys.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. What if the online information about your business is incorrect, or even worse, not very flattering? If your online presence isn't great, you may be losing customers. STMM Digital's trusted and highly trained team is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.